Okay, let's unpack this. You know when you are working on a massive group project.
Oh, I already know where this is going.
Right. Like everyone just retreats into their own little corners. You do your individual part, and then you just sort of staple the whole thing together at the midnight deadline.
Yeah, without actually reading what anyone else wrote.
Exactly.
It's the classic recipe for a disjointed mess. You inevitably end up with an introduction that completely contradicts the conclusion.
Or the formatting just changes completely halfway through.
Right, because no one was actually talking to each other during the process.
It's just a terrible way to work. I mean, it looks totally logical when you are assigning the tasks on a whiteboard.
Yeah.
You know, you take section A, I take section B.
But in reality, the execution falls apart.
It falls apart entirely. And today we are taking a deep dive into an engineering breakdown that shows exactly why that staple it together approach is failing spectacularly in the world of artificial intelligence.
It really is.
The source material we are pulling from today is this fascinating technical teardown. It's titled From Pipeline to Parliament, Five Agents That Underwrite a Deal.
Such a great title.
It is. And our mission for this deep dive is to explore this massive paradigm shift in how AI systems are being designed from the ground up.
Which is something you really need to care about if you follow this space.
Absolutely. Because we are looking at the transition from first generation straight line AI tasks to autonomous, self-correcting AI parliaments, systems that actually debate, cross-examine, and refine their own work before a human ever even sees it.
Yeah, and it represents a fundamental evolution in how we think about automation. I mean, the industry is moving away from simply asking an AI model to do a complex task once and just crossing our fingers for a good output.
Right, hoping it doesn't hallucinate.
Exactly. Instead, engineers are building entire digital environments. Multiple specialized AI agents audit each other's work, they argue over discrepancies in the data, and they're basically forced to reach a reasoned, evidence-based consensus.
Which is wild. But to really appreciate how groundbreaking this parliament model is, we kind of have to start by looking at the flawed system that came before it.
The baseline, yeah.
Right. Our starting point from the text is what the engineers call the V2 underwriting system. So imagine a system designed to evaluate incredibly complex business deals. V2 was built as a linear pipeline, very step by step.
Super traditional.
Yeah, the AI extracts the data once, evaluates it once, and writes the report
And the
once.
flaws in that linear approach become, well, glaringly obvious when you deploy it in high-stakes environments.
Right.
What's fascinating here is what the engineers call the silent propagation of errors.
Right.
Because V2 was a straight-line assembly track, there were literally no internal quality gate.
So it's just garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. If the very first step in the process, say extracting raw data from a 200-page financial document, if it pulled the wrong number, that bad number just quietly cascaded through every subsequent step of the
Oh,
analysis.
wow. So a minor extraction error just turns into a major analytical failure at the end of the line.
Right. And worse, there was zero accountability for the AI itself.
Yeah, the source mentions this. A V2 subject matter expert agent might flag a major issue, spitting out a sentence like, the CapEx assumptions are aggressive.
Right, but it wouldn't link to a page number.
Nothing. It wouldn't point to a specific spreadsheet. It was just this authoritative sounding opinion floating in the void.
Which completely defeats the purpose of having an AI assist you in the first place. I mean, if you are a human underwriter trying to verify that claim, you are left digging manually through hundreds of pages of financial documents, trying to find the one obscure number the AI either hallucinated or just misinterpreted.
You are basically doing the heavy lifting the AI was supposed to do for you.
Exactly.
There is this one detail in the breakdown that perfectly illustrates the brittleness of this older design. It's how the V2 system handled duplicate
Oh,
questions.
this part is amazing.
It's hilarious. So if two different AI agents generated a list of follow-up questions about a deal, the system obviously needed to merge them so it didn't bother the human with the same question twice, right?
Hi.
The way V2 deduplicated those questions was literally just by comparing the first 100 characters of the text.
Which is an incredibly fragile heuristic. I mean, if one agent asks, could you please explain the discrepancy in the Q3 revenue? And another asks, could you please explain the discrepancy in the Q4 revenue?
Those strings of text are identical for the first 100 characters.
Yeah, so it just lops off the end and assumes they are the exact same question.
It is the engineering equivalent of glancing at the subject line of an email and assuming, you know, the entire contents of the message.
That's a great way to put it.
So if the linear assembly line approach is fundamentally broken, you can't fix it by just dropping a slightly smarter, newer language model into the same bad workflow.
No, the track itself has to change.
Right. And that realization brings us directly to the core of the V3 architecture. So how do you fix it?
Well, the pivot here is entirely structural. V3 completely replaces that linear pipeline with five autonomous agents. And it is crucial to clarify what we mean by agents here.
Yeah, let's define that.
These aren't just simple API calls to a large language model where you type a prompt and wait for a text response. These agents are built as state machines.
Okay, let's pause and define that too, because state machine is a term that gets thrown around a lot in computer science. What does it actually mean for the AI?
Right, so a state machine is a system that can only exist in one specific predefined status or state at a time, and it follows strict mathematical rules to transition to the next state.
Okay.
So instead of an AI just generating an unstructured wall of text, it operates in a controlled workflow, or might be in an extracting state, right? And it cannot move to a verifying state until specific logical conditions are met.
So it gives the AI a rigid, reliable scaffolding to operate within.
Exactly. They're programmed to think, verify their claims, and argue with each other, but only within these strict operational boundaries.
Before the text introduces us to the specific agents, though, it spends a lot of time analyzing the underlying engine that runs them all, the Agent Runtime Execution Engine.
Yeah, that's the foundation.
And it's driven by a single, continuous operational loop: observe, think, act, reflect. But I want to push back a little here on the technical side.
Sure.
Why does the design of this runtime matter so much? Like, if you have highly capable AI models acting as these specialized agents, shouldn't their innate intelligence just be enough? Why is the infrastructure such a major focus?
Because the runtime is basically the physics of the world these agents inhabit. If the physics of their universe are chaotic, the agent's behavior will be chaotic, regardless of how advanced the underlying language model is.
Oh.
So to prevent those cascading failures of the V2 system, the engineers made three non-negotiable design decisions for this runtime.
Let's hear them.
First, the runtime is entirely agent agnostic. It doesn't care if it is executing a financial analyst agent or a legal contract agent. It just provides a universal infrastructure that plugs into any basic agent subclass.
Sort of like a universal motherboard. You can snap whatever hardware component you need into it, and the board simply provides the power and the communication pathways.
It's a perfect analogy. The second rule is arguably the most important for AI reliability. The context is immutable.
Immutable meaning it can't be changed.
Right. In traditional software programming, if multiple functions are modifying the same piece of data in memory at the same time, you get what are called aliasing bugs.
Like surprise mutations where data just changes unexpectedly.
Exactly. And language models are incredibly susceptible to losing track of information if their context window gets messy. So in V3, every single time an agent uses a tool or receives a response or accesses its memory,
Yeah.
the runtime creates a brand new isolated instance of that data. The original context is never overwritten.
That makes perfect sense. It's like if we were collaborating on a massive text document. Instead of both of us editing the exact same file simultaneously and, you know, accidentally deleting each other's paragraphs.
Which is a nightmare.
Right. Instead of that, every time one of us makes a keystroke, the system creates a new, perfectly preserved version of the document. No surprise edits, no lost data.
That scales perfectly to how the runtime protects the AI's memory. And then the third rule of the runtime is absolute transparency.
Okay.
Every single step the AI takes is recorded in an agent trace. It logs the exact duration of the step, the inputs and outputs of any tools used, and the precise token count and financial cost.
So there are no black boxes.
Zero. A human auditor can look back and see the exact sequence of logic the AI used to reach a specific conclusion.
That is huge. Okay, so the rules of the game are established. It's this pristine, perfectly documented digital environment. Let's meet the players, the agents doing the actual heavy lifting.
Let's do it.
The first one up is the extraction agent, and I love that its entire operational motto is, "Don't extract once, extract until it's right."
Which is the system's direct defense against that silent propagation of errors we discussed earlier.
Right. It executes a rigorous, five-phase process. Phase one, it's a bulk extract to populate an initial schema, which is basically a structured digital blueprint of what a typical deal should look like.
Yeah, but phase two introduces the self-correction. The agent enters a reflection state. It analyzes its own extracted data and asks, what specific fields in this schema are still blank? What data points look anomalous or logically incorrect?
And if it finds a gap, phase three initiates targeted reads. This is brilliant. Instead of blindly rereading a 200-page PDF from start to finish, it specifically hunts through the document to find the top five critical missing fields.
It's way more efficient.
Yeah. Then phase four is verification. The agent cross-references high-value data points across multiple documents. If it extracts an operator's name, a specific GPU model, or a total CapEx number, it verifies those match everywhere.
It can even execute web searches to fact-check its own internal findings against the public internet.
Wow. And then phase five acts as the final gatekeeper. It's a final reflection state.
Right. And it imposes a strict numerical quality threshold. If the agent evaluates its own extraction work and scores it below an 80 out of 100, the data does not pass to the next stage.
So a numerical standard forces objectivity, and the system uses the Gemini 3.1 Pro model for this task, but the architecture itself forces the model to rigorously double-check its own homework against a hard mathematical standard.
Exactly. And once that data successfully clears the 80 out of 100 threshold, it flows to the second agent in the architecture, the SMEA agent.
The subject matter expert agent. And this isn't just one monolithic AI persona, right? The breakdown details 11 distinct, highly specialized domain experts.
Yeah, you have distinct agent personas operating as a GPU engineer, a financial analyst, a legal analyst, a risk underwriter.
In the old V2 system, these experts simply output unstructured, opinionated blobs.
Right, but in V3, the SME agent forces every single one of these 11 experts to show their mathematical work across four distinct phases. They perform an initial evaluation, reflect on the evidence, deploy external tools to verify claims.
Like running a Python script to double-check a financial calculation.
Exactly. And finally, they face their own quality gate.
The quality formula they use to pass that gate is fascinating because it maps qualitative text into hard quantitative scores. The text provides the exact math, actually.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay, so the score equals concerns-backed multiplied by 40 plus strengths-backed multiplied by 30 plus confidence multiplied by 20 plus summary quality multiplied by 10.
The weighting of that formula reveals the fundamental psychology of the system. Notice that a backed concern is weighted at 40, while a backed strength is only weighted at 30.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, by design, this is an underwriting system. Its primary function is risk mitigation. So the algorithm mathematically prioritizes proving a negative risk over proving a positive benefit.
That makes sense. But how exactly does an AI calculate a backed concern? I mean, it's not just counting words, right?
No, the underlying language model runs a secondary evaluation process.
Mm-hmm.
It looks at a claim the SME agent made, for example, the data center cooling capacity is insufficient, and then it scans the cited document snippet.
Okay.
The model is prompted to assign a confidence score, typically between 0.0 and 1.0, based on how strongly the text evidence supports the claim. If the semantic match is strong, it registers as a backed concern.
And that triggers the 40-point multiplier.
Exactly. And the target backing ratio for evidence across the board is 80% or higher. Also, the confidence target is 0.7 or higher.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. Another crucial architectural choice is that these agents are hard-coded to stay in their respective lanes.
Yes.
The data center engineer agent is actively restricted from opining on the financial debt structure. It can only emit specific domain scope decisions. Pass with conditions, needs clarification, or fail.
Which mirrors how rigorous human organizations operate. You don't ask your lead mechanical engineer to approve the nuances of a complex legal liability contract.
Right. Specialization requires boundaries.
It does.
Okay, but what happens when the legal analyst says pass, but the risk analyst says fail? In V2, they just jam the answers together. How does V3 handle the collision?
This is where we arrive at the true crown jewel of the V3 architecture.
The IC panel agent.
Yes. IC stands for Investment Committee. The engineers affectionately refer to this as the Parliament.
The Parliament. I love that.
It is the most sophisticated agent in the entire ecosystem. Its job isn't to collect information. Its job is to synthesize, judge, and resolve information through a five-step synthesis pipeline.
Let's break down those five steps, because this is the exact moment where the system shifts from being a simple data processing tool to functioning like a highly capable analytical colleague.
Right. So step one is aggregate. It pulls all the baseline data from the 11 experts into one place. Step two is synthesize. It begins drafting a cohesive executive summary based on the individual reports.
Pretty standard so far.
But step three is where the paradigm truly shifts. Step three is debate. When the subject matter experts fundamentally disagree, when legal says pass and risk says fail, the parliament dynamically generates a structured debate protocol.
Wow.
It extracts the hard textual evidence from the legal agent, pits it directly against the data from the risk agent, and forces the models to cross-examine each other's underlying premises.
To reach a logical resolution, that is incredible. And then step four is challenge. This step specifically targets any concern that an expert has flagged as critical severity, right?
Yes. The parliament isolates that critical concern and pressure tests it. If the evidence supporting the flag is weak, or if the parliament realizes that a finding from a different SME actually mitigates that risk.
Like maybe the finance guy found an insurance policy that covers the risk the engineer found.
Exactly. The parliament agent will actively downgrade the severity of the concern. It acts as an emotional regulator, preventing unfounded panic from reaching the human user.
That is so smart. And the text notes that both debate and challenge are conditional workflows. They only fire when there are actual conflicts or critical concerns.
Right. The system is efficient. It doesn't waste computational power generating a debate if all 11 experts are already in unanimous agreement.
Okay, step five is question synthesis. And this directly replaces that disastrous 100-character string matching thing from V2.
Yes, V3 uses semantic deduplication.
Right.
The mechanism here relies on vector embeddings. Instead of looking at the raw letters of a sentence, the AI converts the meaning of the sentence into mathematical coordinates in a multidimensional space.
Okay, so discrepancy in Q3 revenue and discrepancy in Q4 revenue might look identical to a text-matching script.
But mathematically, they point to entirely different concepts in vector space. So the system genuinely understands the intent, allowing it to accurately merge questions that mean the same thing, even if they use completely different words.
Wait, hold on. Let's pause there and address a glaring risk.
Sure.
If we have an architecture where 11 AI experts are actively debating evidence, cross-examining each other, challenging flags, couldn't they just get stuck in an endless loop of arguing forever?
Oh, absolutely. That is one of the most persistent dangers in multi-agent AI design. If you connect this to the bigger picture and allow unrestricted communication between nodes in a network, it almost always triggers infinite loops.
The models just keep generating responses to each other.
Yeah, until they saturate their context windows and crash.
Yeah.
But the engineering team solved this by implementing a phase communication matrix.
They basically had to impose Robert's rules of order on the AI.
Exactly.
Walk me through how this matrix actually regulates the flow of information.
It is a rigid five-phase protocol. In phase one, the matrix enforces total silence. Zero messages are allowed between the agents. The 11 SMEs must evaluate the deal completely independently.
Shielding them from initial bias or groupthink, they have to form a baseline opinion first.
Right. Then in phase two, SME to SME communication is unlocked, but it is strictly capped. An agent can message another agent a maximum of 2 times.
Oh, so you can request a piece of missing data, but you can't argue back and forth all day.
Precisely. In phase three, communication goes dark again. The parliament agent reads all the individual evaluations and debates in total silence.
Like a judge reviewing the written briefs before a trial.
Then, in phase four, the parliament can send direct messages down to the SMEs, but again, restricted to a maximum of 1 round per agent. Just to clarify, a highly specific discrepancy.
And phase five?
Returns to total silence for the final aggregation. By mathematically capping the communication turns, the system constantly moves forward toward a conclusion.
Instead of endlessly spiraling, the structure is incredibly strict. And because of that rigorous protocol, the parliament agent operates under the highest quality threshold in the entire architecture. It requires a 90 out of 100 to pass its internal review.
Because, as the engineers explicitly state, this is what humans actually read.
Right, so the parliament has reached a verdict. But raw data doesn't help an executive who needs to make a final call. How does the system package its findings for the human end user?
That's where the data is handed off to the report agent. And, true to the V3 philosophy, it operates in a three-phase loop: draft, self-review, and revise.
The self-review phase is a brilliant use of compute. the exact same AI model that just drafted the summary is prompted to immediately critique its own work.
It scans the text and asks itself, did I address the critical concerns? Are all the financial figures properly sourced? Is the tome professional?
And if it finds an unsourced number, it initiates the revise phase and fixes its own mistake before a human ever lays eyes on it.
It also dynamically alters the structure of the final report based on the intended audience, using allocator buckets.
Right, so if the report is for an equity stakeholder, it focuses on the internal rate of return and upside. But if it's for a debt senior stakeholder,
it shifts the entire narrative focus to credit rationale and downside protection. It intrinsically understands what matters to different audiences.
There is one final agent doing cleanup, the question agent. The old V2 system just dumped every single unanswered question onto the human's desk,
which is overwhelming. The V3 question agent implements a genius web filter phase.
I love this part.
It reviews the final list of missing information. But before asking the human, it autonomously checks if the information is publicly available online. If it is, it extracts the data, cites the source, and deletes the question from the human's to-do list.
It aggressively filters out the noise to protect your time, prioritizing only what has a high impact.
Exactly. And underlying every single phase of this architecture is the core tenet of the whole V3 system, evidence provenance, moving from opinions to evidence.
Right, because every finding traces back to a specific source document, a specific page, and the exact textual snippet.
Using a four-level severity system, critical, high H, medium, and low.
Alongside AI-suggested mitigations. So what does this all mean for you listening to this deep dive? We've talked about state machines, vector embeddings, phase communication. Let's zoom out to the real-world cost and speed.
The numbers from the Arcane Cloud test case are staggering.
Yeah, so to understand the scale, a token is roughly a word or a piece of a word. Processing dense documents requires a massive amount of tokens.
To run a single SME, like the GPU engineer, through its entire loop, the system processes around 75,000 tokens in about 5 minutes.
And the total pipeline, running all 11 experts, the parliament, the reports, the web questions, the total token count is roughly 211,000 tokens. And the entire system completes its work in approximately 10 minutes.
10 minutes to execute analysis that would take a human team days, if not weeks.
And the cost, a few dollars per deal. It is orders of magnitude cheaper than a human. Plus, the engineers noted that the entire 63 test evaluation suite was written in a single Claude code session.
Which encapsulates the grand takeaway perfectly. The profound leap from V2 to V3 wasn't achieved by just plugging in a better AI model.
No.
The system got smarter because the engineers changed the relationship between the AI and its own output, giving agents the ability to question themselves and each other.
And that observe, think, act, reflect framework isn't just for coding AI. It is a new way to think about structuring any complex problem or team.
Absolutely.
As we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final lingering question to ponder on your own. If we are now building AI parliaments that autonomously debate, synthesize evidence, and reach a consensus that rivals human experts,
it's a huge shift.
At what point does their synthesized decision become legally or ethically binding in the business world? If 11 AI experts debate and agree on a multi-million dollar deal, who really made the decision? The human who designed the loop or the parliament itself?
That's the real question.
It's something we are going to have to answer soon. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the architecture of tomorrow. We'll catch you next time.